It's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 17. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 17. Should not 17, should be 15, 12 through 15. Let us hear God's word. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you would feed us with your word. We ask that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you're in charge of a company or a business or an organization, it is your priority. Y'all excuse me. My heart's flipping here. It is your privilege to do the things that you want to do in the manner that you want it done. If you're a king or a prince, you have the authority to rule and overrule. You have the authority to govern your kingdom according to the way you want it done. You can keep things the way they are, or you can change them. Anyone who is in a position of authority has the power to influence, command, build, or tear down whatever they desire. Without authority to do so, you can't rule, you can't govern, you can't establish anything. You can't change it. It is what it is. Well, it goes without saying that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. And thus, he can do what he wants to do. He can change things if he so desires. If we accept what the scriptures have to say, then there is no question then that the weekly Sabbath finds its foundation and derives its purpose from Jesus Christ himself. He is the authority for the observance of the Sabbath. He is king of the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He has established the Sabbath. And if he so desires, because he has this authority, he can change the way the Sabbath is to be observed. So what we need to understand is, from the times of the patriarchs to the times of the sons of Jacob going down into Egypt, the Sabbath was observed according to the work of Christ in creation. But things changed. Things changed. And just when new things happen in your life or with your family and you change the way you do things, God changed the way he's going to do things. So when the family of Jacob entered into Egypt and later became slaves in that country for 400 years, it's very clear from the scriptures that then the Sabbath was forgotten. It is not by accident that the Holy Spirit, speaking through holy men, writes for us and says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. He writes that because it is our tendency to forget the Sabbath day. But the first hearing audience, Israel in Egypt, they had forgotten the Sabbath day. They had been in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years of bondage in Egypt. They were not allowed to practice their religion. They were not allowed to worship their God. They were not allowed to rest one day in seven. Instead, for 400 years, Israel was daily trained to believe the worldview of Egypt. And that worldview being that Pharaoh is God, that Pharaoh controls all things, that you get your value, your purpose from Pharaoh himself. For 400 years, the people of God were daily brainwashed to believe this lie and to forget the truth. Thus, after 400 years, Israel forgot the Sabbath. It was not observed. They forgot what it meant. They forgot the one who had authority over the Sabbath. Thus, the reason for God telling them, remember the Sabbath day. Think about this. How much of the history of the United States would be forgotten if we all became the slaves in China? And then our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and right on down the lines, for 400 years, no one ever observed and celebrated the 4th of July. Well, maybe through oral tradition, there might be some traces of what the 4th of July celebration was all about. After working off of a Chinese calendar and daily being taught Chinese propaganda, and this goes on for 400 years, much of the history of the United States would be lost. And then if we were ever set free, would anyone actually know the exact date when the United States became a country? No, more than likely, we would celebrate 1776 according to when we were released from bondage in China. Well, this is similar to what God did with Israel. When God brings Israel out of Egypt, He calls them to remember the Sabbath day, and He gives them two reasons. One, because God has created all things, and He sustains all things. He created you, and He sustains you. And then the second was, because God has delivered you out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt. Therefore, remember the Sabbath day. The scriptures say from Deuteronomy chapter 5, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand, an outstretched hand. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to observe the Sabbath day. But notice what happens here. The actual observance of the day is changed. The second commandment takes precedent over the first commandment. The writer to the Hebrews says, for when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of law. The priesthood was no longer the head of the family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. No. The head now is not the head of the family. Instead, it is the Levites. The Levites now are the priests. See, the priesthood in the first part of the book of Genesis is the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all served as priests for their family. But after coming out of Egypt, God assigns the descendants of Aaron, the Levites, to be priests. And because there is a change in the priesthood, there is a change now in the observance of the Sabbath. Because God has the authority to institute the Sabbath, He also has the authority to change it. The reasons for Moses and Israel observing the Sabbath, once again, they're now twofold. One, because of God creating, and now two, because of redemption from Israel. The creation reason, it's not invalid, but it has been changed. You see, the Sabbath, from Genesis to Revelation, the Sabbath is always established in conjunction with a mighty work of God. In Genesis, the mighty work is creation. And then you go further on down the years, the mighty work is deliverance from Egypt. And you go on down the calendar road, and then the next mighty work is, guess what? It's Jesus Christ. Even today, Israel, the nation of Israel, sets the day of their deliverance, their Independence Day, from the time that they left Egypt. So, from Adam to the sons of Jacob, the Sabbath is calculated from the seventh day of creation. But from Moses to the time of John the Baptist, the Sabbath is calculated from the seventh day of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Now remember, God has authority over the Sabbath. Jesus Christ says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus corrects the misunderstanding of what the Sabbath is all about. He does so because He's Lord of the Sabbath. And as the actual observance day of the Sabbath changed to commemorate the great work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we still worship God for His creation, but now we also worship Him for His redemption. The recreation, so to speak, because we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. What He's saying is, come to me and I will give you a Sabbath rest, that you will rest from your work, you will rest from your struggles with sin, you will rest from your struggles with the devil. It is in Him that we rest. So on the Sabbath day, we gather together to worship God for His works of creation. Everyone in Christ is a new creation, as well as His works of redemption. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And since the origin, and since the original Sabbath was a shadow or an illustration of the great Sabbath to come, then it is appropriate that God once again change the day that the Sabbath is to be observed. The Sabbath day, the Sabbath of God, has been changed from Saturday to Sunday, because Sunday was the day of the Lord's triumph over sin and death. Notice the flow of redemptive history. I'll say it again. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, observed the Sabbath day because of the works of God in creation. From Moses to the time of John the Baptist, the Sabbath was observed in accordance with the great work of creation and the great work of redemption. And now, beginning with Jesus Christ, the Sabbath is is understood because He is the Lord of the Sabbath. We observe the Sabbath because of the great work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Psalm 118 is a psalm of worship. The psalmist, he desires admission into the sanctuary of God because he wants to worship God because God has delivered him. God has appeared to David as a great warrior, a great king who has delivered David from his enemies. David writes, "Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done this mighty thing. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses." So because of the great work that God had done to protect David, King David now wants to worship. And he says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation." Now, this is what we need to understand, that Psalm 118 is a prophecy. It is a prophecy of the great and mighty warrior king who is to come, who will deliver God's people from all of their enemies. This mighty conquering king is Jesus Christ. Christ has delivered us from our sin. He has delivered us from the power of the evil one. He has delivered us from death. Maybe you have heard me say in our call to worship and in our invocation that we call upon the great, mighty warrior king, the conquering king. See, that's in reference to the Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is speaking about Jesus Christ. Oh, the name of Christ is wonderful. The redemption that He worked is the most amazing and outstanding of all of God's works of wonder and grace. It is what the angels desire to look into and will be admiring for all eternity. The work of Jesus Christ is the apex of the work of God on earth. Great wisdom was demonstrated in God making us. But a miraculous wisdom is seen in God saving us. Great power is seen in bringing us out of nothing. But greater power is seen in saving us when we were worse than nothing. It costs more to redeem us than to create us. In creating us, it was simply a word God spoke. And there was Adam. But in redeeming us, the Word of God suffers and dies. Excuse me. Creation was the work of God's fingers, but redemption is the work of His arms. In creation, God gave us ourselves, but in redemption, God gives us Himself. By creation, we have death in Adam. By redemption, we have life in Christ. By creation, we were given a right to earthly paradise. But by redemption, we have a title to heaven. Y'all give me a moment. I'm going to finish this sermon. I'm hurting a little bit here. But I'm going to finish. The creation of the universe the creation of God's people. That was great. And then later, the deliverance of God's people from bondage and slavery in Egypt. That's great. But now, the recreation of God's people and the deliverance of God's people from the bondage of sin and Satan and death, it surpasses all of God's work. So therefore, there must be a day, there must be a time to commemorate this great work of God. There must be a day that the Lord Himself would make to commemorate His glorious work. And that day is today. That day is Sunday, the first day of the week. We see that this is testified to in the Scriptures. Christ arose on the first day of the week, on Sunday. It was on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, that the Apostle John was in the Spirit, and Jesus Christ gives him the contents of the book of Revelation. It was on the first day of the week, on Sunday, when the Spirit was poured out there at Pentecost and empowered the church to preach and teach the gospel of Christ. It was the practice of the apostles to gather for worship on the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20, we find the church gathering to hear Paul preach and teach and to observe the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and pray together, all on the first day of the week. Paul tells the Corinthians that when they come together on the first day of the week, to set aside a little bit of money that can be used to help the widows and the poor. What the apostles did, they did by divine authority. For they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to worship on the first day of the week. Oh, my friends, today is the day that the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. In this day, we rejoice and worship God because of His creation and because of His redemption. Christ has shed His blood, the Passover lamb, in order that we would not be slaughtered, that we would keep our life, that we would live with Christ. Let us impress upon ourselves and each other the importance of this day. This day is a shadow. It is an illustration of the great Sabbath to come, when every tear shall be wiped away and we will rest from all of our earthly labors, that we will be with Christ, never to be separated from Him again. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us this day to think on Your great works of redemption, to think on the work of Christ for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would impress upon us the importance of this day and what this day points to, the everlasting rest with You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together and sing a closing hymn. Hymn number 353, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. Let's stand and sing together.